So what exactly am I looking at here?
I built a house on a ship. The puppy has a little door for itself right here. This is the human's door, and here's a piano. This is where the puppies eat. This is the puppy's doghouse, but I lost some pieces. They look like this. And here's a chair. There are some alarms everywhere. The garden Mom built it. There's a swing set, a door to the bedroom. The swing set is in the bedroom. They have this little balcony the puppy can walk up. You can play the piano.
And this all has been built atop a menacing black Lego spaceship. So I was going through a box in the basement a couple months ago, and I found like an old black spaceship, you know, built mostly out of like black parts. There's a few like white and gray. I only work in black, or sometimes very dark gray, as it were. Whatever. I found a spaceship that I'd completely forgotten about, so I threw it into the kids' Lego collection because, you know, that's where the Lego belongs. And now I see that it has been brightened up quite substantially with all of that stuff that Juliana just described, the doghouse and the park and the garden, all built on top of the menacing black spaceship.
And there's even a little fireplace.
Mm-hmm. And Batman. I see Batman.
And Batgirl.
Oh, and Batgirl's there, too.
They lost their hair.
Well.
I still might add a little more to it.
It's holding all together very, very well. That's good.
Mm-hmm. Ellen and me were trying to finish it. I builded mostly half of it. Mom builded that. Me and Ellen were building this. I added this on. And it's a little doghouse on a ship.
Neat.
So if someone tries to break on, their ship can just fly.
You've thought of everything. That looks like a creative beaver badge to me. Well, welcome back to another episode of Scouting Stuff You Should Know.
Hooray!
Hooray! This is probably going to wind up being episode 42. I know it says 43 there on the notes, but I'm going to make it 42. And that'll make
sure?
The... Yes. And that'll make the one I did with Regan episode 43.
Oh, okay. So game day decision?
Exactly. Yeah. It'll have to be a game time decision. And the reason for that primarily actually is that because... Well, first off, Happy Canada Day.
Happy Canada Day.
Yes. Mm-hmm. To you personally and to all of you listening out there.
Mm-hmm.
So we're recording this, on... I can't believe it's not Canada Day. It's the
day after Canada
yes,
Day.
It's the Monday off
Yeah, the 2 days after
the
day.
Because Canada Day was on Saturday.
If you celebrated hard on Saturday, you'll probably be, this will be the day that, you know, you need.
yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it's the day that you'd probably get off from work if, you know, your work gives you the day in lieu. But anyways... We're doing this in the afternoon, which is unusual as well.
Yes.
But
which if the listeners can hear it, if we sound like we're off our game, it's because we're not recording at our usual time. Mm-hmm. So,
and it has been a little while too.
It has.
Goodness.
Like June.
Yes. Well, so
predating June.
Predating June. But
you and I at any rate.
Yes, exactly. But no new baby. So, you know.
Oh, that's...
That part of my life hasn't completely gone out the window yet.
No.
But it could be any day now. For all I know, she could go into labor tonight.
Yep.
In which case, I'll be really glad we got this recorded when we did. And then actually, the former Akela from the Cub Pack and her son are coming over in a little bit as well. I don't know how long it's going to take them to get here. And the reason for that is her son is a scout, and she is going to be joining as one of my beaver scouters.
Mm-hmm.
But he is going to CJ 2017, Canadian Jamboree in Nova Scotia.
Excellent.
I am not going to CJ.
Not yet.
No. But
you will at some
point. Yes, at some point I'm sure I'll be on the CJ circuit. But because he's going to CJ, I'm going to give him one of my Rode video mics, the portable microphones, and I'm going to show him how to use Boss Jock Studio on an iPhone.
Nice.
And then hopefully he's able to do a couple at least of episodes from CJ. So we'll get like some on the ground
field reporting.
Yeah. I have stringers now. That's how you know I'm legit.
Yeah, I was going to say, look at us expanding the podcast. Yeah,
we have stringers. Mm-hmm. We are now officially slightly more official than we were before, which is still to say monumentally unofficial, but yes, that's okay.
That's right.
Other housekeeping things. Oh, right. Just before we dive into topic, new logo.
Yes.
Yes.
I approve heartily of that that design change.
Yes. It was funny because, like, I mean, I went with the original logo just because it was something I could whip up quickly. And I thought it was kind of cheeky, right? Like, you take the World Organization of the Scouting Movement logo and you replace the center leaf of the fleur-de-lis with a microphone.
Right.
I thought this was pretty cheeky. People seemed to like it. Mm-hmm. And then I made the mistake of cross-posting an episode to, like, the first Facebook Scout group. And I don't know, I may continue to do that there occasionally, but
yeah,
one guy took exception to the logo.
Well, it's kind of like everything, you know, eventually you're going to hit on someone that, and I guess they did make a valid point.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, like,
but
I dialogued with him a little bit and, you know, just tried to stay as positive as possible. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's kind of like, I'm not a graphic designer. Mm-hmm. And I'm not the most artistically inspired person all of the time. So I'm like, well, you know what? I mean, sure. If something occurs to me, like, I'm not opposed to changing it, but it's like, well,
we don't want to terribly offend people.
Yeah. And it's like, I'm not really, it's not just something I can just fall into, you know, I'm just like, you know, people seem to like the logo. So like, unless it's a case of where I'm actually like, you know, in a situation where some legal action could be taken, I'm not going to like make it my highest priority. Mm-hmm. And then he came back and he pointed out, you know, the copyright on the WSM logo. And I was like, oh, fine, okay. But it just so happened actually that I took a big walk around, like I was taking a big walk over my lunch break while all of this conversation was playing out. And I was just checking Facebook on my phone. And I'm like, well, you know what? I'll see, like, because there's a website called Pixabay that I use for a lot of my, like, open source imagery. I use it for, like, podcast episode artwork. Mm-hmm. So I just flipped around on Pixabay a little bit and looked at, like, different scouting, you know, scout and scouting related tags.
Yep.
And then I found, like, the scarf, the Friendship Knotted scarf. And I'm just like, okay.
Yep.
You know, I think I could use this for something. And so I came up with the new logo, which,
I liked it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Initially, it was all orange and white, and then you pointed out that it was missing some green, because those, of course, are our troop colors.
Yes. It would be nice to have a throwback to our group.
Question for the listener. Mm-hmm. Who would want one if I, say, got a few of those scarves made? You can leave your comments on Facebook or Twitter, or you can send us an email.
Yes.
Right. So what are we talking about tonight?
Have we introduced ourselves?
Oh, yeah. Have we introduced ourselves? Right. Who are you?
Last time I checked. And what says on my driver's license is that I'm Scouter Colin.
Ah. And I continue to be Scouter Ken. Mm. So, hi, everybody. It's good to be talking to you.
Yes. What are we talking about today?
What are we talking about? Well, you know what?
In episode 42 or 43. 42.
Yes. Mm. We are not talking about the meaning of life.
Oh.
Or about mice. Or about intergalactic super highways.
Does one need a towel?
I am not reciting Vogon poetry. However, what is the motto? What is the Scout's motto?
Are you asking? Or like,
yes, on the spot, I am posing to you. What is the motto of the Scout?
Well, the last time we talked about mottos, I got the motto of service wrong for the rover motto, because that's changed.
They
for
did
the
change that.
For the Canadian path. Now, the big question is, has it changed for the Scout section? Last time I checked, it was be prepared.
I believe it is still be prepared.
Ah, excellent.
Yes. And I thought it actually might be interesting to just pick apart for a little bit why Baden-Powell chose be prepared as the motto, because, you know, why not? We are scouting stuff you should know. This is a good thing to know.
Yes.
So one of the explanations that Baden-Powell gave, you know, be prepared, and this is a direct quote from him, actually, be prepared. The meaning of the motto is that a scout must prepare himself by previous thinking out and practicing how to act on any accident or emergency so that he is never taken by surprise.
That seems fitting.
Mm-hmm. Although, admittedly, the quote from him that I like a little bit more, and this is, in doing some research for this episode, of course, I tripped across a blog post by Brian Wendell. So this is Brian on Scouting, Boy Scouts of America.
Yep.
But I mean, his blog is a, you know, if you go to blog.scoutingmagazine.org, bit of a mouthful, he's always got interesting stuff that he's posting there. And this is one that he published actually earlier this year in May. And I think that Baden-Powell, you know, that quote from Baden-Powell that I led off with is pretty good, but I always liked the slightly cheekier one that is anecdotally ascribed to him. Upon hearing the scout motto, someone asks scouting founder Robert Baden-Powell the inevitable follow-up question. Prepared for what? Why, for any old thing, he replied. The Scouting Magazine article is probably the one I'm going to link to primarily in the show notes, because it actually contains a wealth of information about the motto. Be prepared, as Baden-Powell defined it in Scouting for Boys. He, you know, had yet another definition for it. He wrote that it means you are always in a state of readiness in mind and body to do your duty. And I like that he kind of keeps the definition overly broad, because, you know, it's not really, you know, it's not like he's saying be prepared for X or be prepared, you know, when X, right? It's just very simply be prepared. And then every time he's asked about it, or every time he comments on be prepared, he keeps it very general, because really, I think he wants the motto, which, by the way, deliberately carries his initials, BP. Mm. You know, that was a that was not an accident. Mm. He wants the motto to really be something that becomes part of the fabric of everything a scout does, ideally, right? Yes. I mean, obviously, we can think back on our own scouting careers, and we can think back on the scouting groups that we have led, and point to plenty of examples where preparedness has maybe fallen short.
Well, and you think about all the times that you attend events and things like that, and something is not going right, and you wonder if the planning of the event actually thought of all of the possibilities and were prepared for them, versus, you know, like just kind of winging it and hoping for the best.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, and like, you know, we talked about this in the Beaverie episode, right? Where there were like, you know, groups and individuals who weren't prepared for the rain. You and I have certainly seen our fair share of scout camps where people have suffered through not having, you know, even something like, you know, a warm enough sleeping bag on a cold night. You know, there's lots of times where we've seen people hit one pitfall after another for lack of preparation.
One that sticks in my mind is a youth that only brought one pair of socks to a scout camp.
Yeah, that person is not going to have a good time.
No,
that's not going to last very long. And the whole idea of being prepared, and I mean, as unfortunate as these situations are in the time that they happen, hopefully they are still, you know, learning experiences. It's okay, I totally didn't bring my rain gear and we got completely rained out this weekend.
Yeah.
Maybe next time I'm going to pay a little more attention to the weather forecast, you know? I was in a sleeping bag rated for 4 degrees Celsius and it dropped to zero and I was cold all night. Maybe I need to get some better gear.
I forgot my thermarest at home.
Yeah. Oh, you know, that's the worst.
I slept on the cold ground. I didn't sleep.
Yeah. The ground was cold. I am tired. It's really quite true. And I mean, I can look back on my own career as a scout and I can think of many times where I was caught, you know, completely flat-footed. Just like, wow, I did not perform well. I did not perform up to the standard of the motto adequately
yeah.
At this camp.
Well, there's the thing is like you can be prepared and then you can just have this skill set to adapt to your situation. And I mean, in the case of camping and whatnot, you can make a go of it. Even though you might not have all the gear, you still have the skill set to ease the discomfort,
right,
of being inadequately stocked with gear or whatever. You can still make it work.
You can, and I mean that's.
Is that not a level of preparedness as well?
That is a level of preparedness, but it's a very high level of preparedness, right? Mm. It's sort of like how, you know what whole word reading is?
No.
That's how you and I read. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So like when you and I sit down to read a book,
mm-hmm.
we almost never resort to the phonetic approach of sounding out a word, right?
Okay.
Unless it's like the first time we've ever seen a word.
Right.
You and I almost never resort to actually the mental process of sounding out a word.
Mm-hmm.
We're mature readers. So we're at the point now where we can look at just text on a page and essentially it's almost like shape recognition. We can just tell by the shape of the word, by the arrangement of the word, mm-hmm. what it's supposed to be and what it's supposed to sound like.
Just on a side note, is that how sometimes we can read the wrong word is because we think it's the wrong shape and ergo
yes.
we think it's the wrong word?
But that's also how we can filter out typos.
Ah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can recognize, well, I have all the letters for the word there in this word, mm-hmm. but these two are out of order. But I still know that, like, mm-hmm. you know. So it's two things. Yeah, sometimes we can mispronounce because we can get the wrong shape. You know, we just misfire and read the wrong shape out of it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we can just filter out typos, not even realize that there's been a typo there.
Right, right. Right.
That's called, you know, that's whole word reading.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, very powerful. But here's the thing. Whole word reading is the hallmark of a very mature reader. It is not something that you can teach, you know, to an immature reader and expect them to do well at, because then basically all they wind up doing is guessing at words. Okay.
Mm.
So you still, to get a person to the point where they can do whole word reading effectively, they need to be able to, you know, still understand the process of phonetically sounding out a word. Right. And I think, you know, kind of what you're talking about there, that adaptability
mm-hmm.
is very much in the same mindset, because the, like, I mean, obviously you do want that. You do want people to be able to, you know, be adaptable just in any situation they encounter.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really only by, you know, having first gone through the experiences of, you know, actively like being encouraged to be prepared and to a degree experiencing what it's like when failures of preparedness happen,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, only then do you really start to learn the strategies to be that adaptable. I mean, that's kind of my take on it. Because, like, you know, that's kind of where I'm at now, right? Like, I've been through so much, you know, I've been through many situations where it's like, oh.
You have that experience base. Yeah. You've tried and it's failed. Like, oh, and
darn it, that didn't work. Or darn it, I forgot this.
Yeah,
or all
of
that
exactly.
stuff. And, you know, I've arrived now at a point where I do feel confident in mm-hmm. my ability to prepare adequately for events, enough that I can teach that to others, to mm-hmm. my Beaver Scouts, and to a degree to their parents too, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, now it's a case of where, you know, I'm sure when I was a scout, checking the weather forecast for the weekend might not have occurred to me. Now, it's something I keep an eye on all the time.
So what is this weather doing? And, you know, maybe I don't need to bring the full rain gear, but maybe I should bring just my shell just so that, you know, I keep the wind off me and if it drizzles a little bit, then I'm covered that way, but I don't need like the full rain pants and all that other kind of stuff.
But you know what? It's funny because it's not, and this is the other point that I was aiming towards too, is that it's not just about being prepared for the challenge of any particular scouting activity that's coming up. Mm-hmm. It's something that applies in general, right?
In life. Yeah,
exactly. You know, like And I mean, again, the adaptability kind of plays into it as well, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm going to be taking my kids out to a Canada Day thing, you know, or mm-hmm. like on Saturday, I took my kids out to a Canada Day thing. Well, what do I need going out the door? I make mm-hmm. sure I have water bottles, extra snacks, yeah. sunscreen.
The backpack that's getting put on your back. What's in there so that exactly. everybody's good.
Exactly. And I mean, like, it's so second nature, right? Like, I don't even mm-hmm. think about it. Or we were over at my folks last night for dinner mm-hmm. and dinner was running a little bit late. Like, I knew we were going to be eating later than we normally did. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, okay, well, went into the fridge, threw together a quick snack, put yeah. it outside for the girls where they were playing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they had their snack and their tummies were
yeah.
sated for a little bit. And yeah. then, okay, fine, sure. We're 45 minutes behind on supper. No problem.
Yeah. There's nobody breaking down or.
Exactly. Cause you know, I mean, and I think we've talked about this in previous episodes too, is the fact that, you know, kids, especially young kids, if they get thirsty, if they get hungry, if they get too warm, they just get cranky. Right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so, you know, even in, you know, my day-to-day...
I get cranky. Yeah,
I get cranky too. Even in my day-to-day role as a parent, you know, there's just... Preparedness is just an essential part of how I go about being a parent and doing activities outside the home with my mm-hmm. children. Mm-hmm. Or even sometimes activities in the home with my yeah. children, for that matter.
Yeah.
So it does become something that just... animates and informs every part of everything you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I know that even in taking on, you know, different tasks at work or whatever, you try and plan out. At least I do. My job has me dealing with clients on a regular basis, so I try to cover my bases when I go and do like an installation of our product or that kind of stuff, just so that I've communicated effectively to the customer what it's going to look like, and then some possibilities of if it goes sideways, you know, how are we going to deal with that, and just so that everybody's in the know about how it's going to go. And usually the installations go off without a hitch, but sometimes, you know, it's good to know that there's a backup plan in case something goes sideways.
Yeah. It's relevant in my career too. I mean, I mm-hmm. work in cybersecurity, and that is all about, actually a lot of it comes down to just intelligence, you know, having not in the sense of like smarts, although those help, but like actual like threat intelligence and understanding like, okay, what is even happening out there? Like, mm-hmm. what are the trends and what are the, you know, which malwares are really kind of cresting right now mm-hmm. and what's on the rise and where are the threat actors originating from and what are they targeting? Like all of this information mm-hmm. and then trying to figure out how any of that applies to my circumstance at the office and mm-hmm. here at home too, mm-hmm. and what I can do to mitigate against that. Right. Huge part of that. And I mean, all of this goes to, I think what Baden Powell's ultimate goal in articulating "Be Prepared" as the motto was. And again, I'm stealing from the Boy Scouts of America handbook here. This is from their 13th edition. Mm-hmm. And again, it's from the Brian on Scouting article, quote, his, that is BP's, idea was that scouts should prepare themselves to become productive citizens and strong leaders and to bring joy to other people. He wanted each scout to be ready in mind and body and to meet with a strong heart whatever challenges await him, or I guess her, in the Scouts Canada context.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I thought was neat was if you actually look at like the Wikipedia article for Be Prepared, the motto in different languages is really kind of neat. And I'm not going to attempt all of these pronunciations, but some of the translations are really kind of neat. So like in Albanian, the literal translation of how they put the motto is always prepared.
Mm-hmm.
In Ethiopia, it comes out, the translation is ready. In the Armenian one, oh my gosh, the Armenians just go all out on this one. Always ready, elevate yourself and others with you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's like, oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
In Bengali, so in Bangladesh, the translation is, do your best to be prepared for service.
Okay.
Okay. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
sort of a very literal one. In Cantonese and in Chinese, it comes out as prepare.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Any other things? Gets a little bit weird in Danish. In Danish, it's protect and serve.
Okay.
It's a little bit of a different take on it.
Yeah.
Always ready and always prepared actually seem to come out a lot. In Hungarian, it's be watchful.
Okay.
And then in Indonesia, it's completely different. In Indonesia, it's my promise becomes my law. My law becomes my devotion.
Interesting.
Yes, that's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. In Japanese, it's always be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
In Korean, it's preparation.
That's not a bad take mm-hmm. on it.
In Luxembourgish, it's loyal to the country. A lot of these European ones really go in a very different direction.
Mm-hmm.
In Mongolian, become prepared. I am ready forever. It's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a neat one too. In Norwegian, it's a call and response.
Oh.
In Norwegian, the call is be prepared and the answer is always prepared.
Oh, okay.
So that's another neat way to do it.
Yep.
Always alert. That is Portuguese. And in Slovenian, it is with nature to a better person.
Yeah, there are a few that kind of, I wouldn't say, they tend to go in a different direction than what the original wording was.
Mm-hmm. But for the most part, it does come down to, you know, like being...
Some sort of readiness.
Yes. Readiness, preparation.
Yeah.
I like the Norwegian with the call and response. That's kind of cool too.
Mm-hmm.
and like, oh my gosh, the, which one was that? The... Right, I can leave a gap. The Bengali is good, like do your best to be prepared for service.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Armenian as well.
Like, yeah.
Always ready. Elevate yourself and others with you. It's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I like that. So yeah, that's pretty much worldwide with a few exceptions. That idea of readiness, preparation really does come through. Sometimes it's in a little bit more of an active voice. Sometimes it's sort of a little bit... you know, it's geared more towards mindfulness or watchfulness versus just sort of a general preparation. But still, yeah. Like, I mean, the idea
I think the
is
overall,
generally reflective.
Yeah, the overall arching thing is the preparation and the readiness and all that good stuff.
Exactly. So,
mm-hmm.
So yes, be prepared. The meaning of the motto is that a scout must prepare himself by previous thinking out and practicing how to act on any accident or emergency so that he is never taken by surprise. And certainly, I mean, scouts acting out this motto throughout history have had, you know, very pivotal impacts. I mean, even just thinking about like, you know, the other story in the Brian on Scouting article, he cites, you know, Winston Churchill's praise of the scouts who served, you know, in England, like during the war, right?
Mm-hmm.
And who were fulfilling different public service roles. You know, youth as young as 12, 13, and 14, filling different public service roles. And, you know, Churchill wrote just effusive praise of the organization and the youth doing their part, you know, mm-hmm. in, like the aftermath of the Blitz and whatnot. So
mm-hmm.
Certainly one example, not the only example in history. Scouts have routinely turned out in many different situations, including crises,
mm-hmm.
to... help out and pitch in
yeah.
and contribute. And, you know, the world is a better place. I think that there is a large body of youth who are in fact prepared to act when necessary.
Yes. Yeah. And it has to be a major crisis that involves a lot of people. It can just be the stranded motorist at the side of the road kind of thing.
Exactly.
Right.
It kind of ties towards doing a good turn.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. You know, because it's easier to do a good turn if, you know, you're kind of mentally ready to approach any particular situation that comes your way.
That's right. I know the motorist at the side of the road has happened for me on a couple of occasions. The one that comes to mind is last winter, I believe. I was doing a lot of traveling in northern Alberta,
That's right, you were.
Eastern Alberta. So for me, I was personally prepared for eventualities of being potentially stranded for, you know, a 24-hour period, you know, because you...
Spending some quality time with a snowdrift.
Yeah, you just don't know when you're traveling the roads in Alberta in the middle of winter. You bring your winter gear and you pack some extra water and you pack some extra food and things of that nature, right? Even though you may not need it, it is quite handy to have. Because there is usually some significant distance between potential rest stops along the way.
It can happen.
In one of my travels, I actually came across motorists that had slid off the road and into the ditch. And they were actually not quite buried in their car, but they were in such a place that they couldn't really get their car out. Me being prepared, I stopped and I offered assistance because that's what you do. Because you might be the only motorist that comes across them for the, you know, in the foreseeable future. So, you know, I had the conversation with them about, you know, how they were doing and if they were shaken and all that kind of stuff, and help make sure that they could get into and out of their car. We had to move some snow, and we weren't going to be able to push the car out of its location, but at least, you know, it was...
At least someone wasn't going to just be sitting in the car,
yeah,
stuck,
yeah,
for hours,
suffering from carbon monoxide poisoning or whatever, right? Like, it's... they could at least run their car and, you know, it would be okay. But I also had extra water and food. I offered to drive them to the nearest, rest stop service station.
Oh yeah.
But that offer was declined because I look rather intimidating. So, you know, sometimes people just don't want to take me up on it, but that's okay.
That's okay.
But I did offer them some food and some water, and I stocked them up before I was on the road again.
There you go.
So I felt good 'cause I helped them out. But they were actually, I was prepared. Yes. For my eventuality of being stuck out in the middle of nowhere, but
and someone else benefited from it.
My preparedness helped them.
Awesome. My Cub Scout is sneaking downstairs. Well, because I do have to get the aforementioned Cub Scout to her swimming lesson, which means an early supper for us, I do have a shout out.
Ah. All right.
This is a long overdue shout out, actually. So this goes to Stephanie, and she left a couple of different comments on the Facebook page. The first one she wrote was, "Thanks for having such a great Canadian scouting focused podcast. As a current Rover and Cub Scouter who has grown up in the program, it's great to hear your experiences. So once again, thank you for creating an awesome podcast that is very relatable." Well, you're very welcome, Stephanie.
We try.
We're glad to fill that niche. And she also had a little comment regarding the banter, because Corey and Hawkeye and I were joking about that in episode 41. She says, "I love your tangents. Part of what makes your podcast so great is the informal format and all the tangents you go on." So,
yeah, sometimes we don't stick to the script.
What script? Hey, we actually did some research beforehand for this episode, so yes, we're good. We're set.
That's right.
Ella here has developed some interest in the way that I go about recording stuff. So, yeah, that's not a touchscreen. The other one was a touchscreen. But, oh well.
Things to learn.
Yes. I don't know. Do you have any shoutouts?
Nope. Just that it was Canada's 150th. So, yay.
Yeah, totally. Canada 150.
Mm-hmm. So... I guess it's a benchmark, but you know, that being said,
you American listeners are just kind of like, yeah, whatever. And then you British listeners are just like infants, but you know, it's still a big deal for us.
Yeah. There were many fireworks.
And it means that, you know, we get really cool badges for our uniforms that we can just wear and wear and wear.
I guess, yeah. Yeah. That is correct.
I tried to make sure that all of my youth got the 2017 crest.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is something that you can carry forward, you know?
Yeah, that would be a good one to have.
Definitely.
Yeah, other than that, no, I don't have any shout
outs. All right. Well, then, as always, a big thank you to the folks at Scouting Radio for rebroadcasting our episodes to their worldwide scouting audience.
And thank you very much.
Thank you. And if you're listening to us on Scouting Radio right now, let us know. Reach out and get in touch. We'd love to hear from you. And how, you ask, can you do that? Well,
that's often what I ask.
That is often what you ask.
How can they do that?
Please don't knock that over. All right. Well, now that that crisis has been averted, you can, of course, email us, scoutingstuffpodcast@gmail.com. You can leave us a voice message if you go to the somewhat recently reworked scoutingstuffpodcast.com webpage. Mm-hmm. Now it's actually kind of hit. There's a little pop-out menu on the left side of the page. And if you go there, you can find a link to leave us a voice message. Mm-hmm. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at SSYSK Podcast. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/scoutingstuffpodcast. Mm-hmm. Or you can leave us a review on iTunes. And if you do that, then it kind of boosts our iTunes ranking.
Hooray!
Helps bring the podcast to more people's attention.
Mm-hmm.
And there you go. Although, you know, the last time I looked at the BSA Scoutcast, we were one of the You May Also Like suggestions.
Ah, so well, there you go.
There you go.
We're moving up in the world.
In the world.
Yeah.
Doing all right.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. Probably a little bit of a shorter episode. And until next time, be prepared.